Hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global Podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah guys, welcome to the latest episode. How are you doing, Lucy?
I'm okay, tired. It's been a very long week.
Yeah.
Not too happy week. Fortunately, some bad things are happening, protests are happening in my country, Senegal. Yeah. So yeah, that's been keeping me a bit, you know, but my family are safe, a lot of my friends are safe, but some people have passed away. So I just want to share my respect and love for them, and I hope everything goes well.
No, indeed, likewise, well said. Yeah, I mean, it's been a weird week in terms of like tennis. There's been a lot of tennis, but then at the same time, it feels like not much has really happened. So yeah, let's just get into it. So what I want to start talking about first is Coco Gauff, and it's literally, we're recording this on a Sunday, so she's literally just won through in Dubai. She's making her debut in Dubai at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships. Bit of a long one that is, but yeah, that's a WTA 1000 event. And yeah, so she played the Russian Ekaterina Alexandrova in the first round, and literally came through that in three sets. And it was an absolute, like, just a grueling, like, battle, pretty much. Really gutsy display in the end from Gauff, because I think she had six match points before actually, like, going on to win the match in three sets. And like, yeah, they kept basically exchanging breaks of serve. It's just a really up and down kind of match. So for her to come through that, like I said, again, on her debut in the Middle East, at this WTA 1000, it's a good look.
So definitely.
She plays Marketa Vondrousova, who's the 12th seed, or Anna Bogdan, who's a qualifier in the second round. So that should be another interesting match. So she'll play that probably on Tuesday. She'll get the day off tomorrow, you'd think. But yeah, like, just, I'm going to talk about Coco Gauff's run in, it was Adelaide. So after the Australian Open, she reached the semi-finals, which was an incredible,
that was impressive.
Really, really good run.
Definitely.
So she beat like a lot of seeded players like on that run to the semi-finals. So she had to come through qualifying too, which is like quite interesting. Came through the first round in qualifying in straight sets. That was against Fran Jones. And then literally every match after that was three sets. So the last qualifying match was against Clara Juvan. And again, that was three sets. So she lost the first set and then won the next two. And then she had Jasmine Paolini in the first round. And again, three sets. Won the first set. Paolini won the second set. And then Coco won the third, 6-2. And then in the second round, she had Petra Martic. She was the sixth seed. Again, Petra Martic won the first set. And then Coco Gauff went on to win sets two and three. And the quarterfinals, because I actually watched this match like from start to finish, I was really impressed. That was against Shelby Rogers. Again, three sets. So yeah, Coco lost the first.
Yeah, that would definitely have been tough.
Coco lost the first set 6-2, and then won the next two 6-4, 6-4. And yeah, the semi final, which is where she fell to the second seed, Belinda Bencic, and that was again three sets, again up and down, but just an incredible run, and that literally solidified her place in the top 40. So she broke the top 40 for the first time. And yeah, she's currently at a career high 38 in the world rankings, which is just like, she's only going to go up and up. Like, that's not the peak for her. Like, and she's just 16. So yeah, I mean, we've spent a lot of time talking about Coco Gauff, like,
yeah, definitely,
in previous pods. But like, what's impressed you like so far this year in terms of like, yeah, her form?
I just feel like keep playing, because the way I see it, because she's young, at this moment, I just see her as this is like her working towards being like one of the top players type of thing. So I'm really impressed, like, in her, like, you know, making all these moves, especially like with not really having a season last year and stuff, like her playing as many matches as she can, because when she was younger she couldn't play as many matches because of her age and stuff.
Exactly,
so now that she's out of that restriction, she can play as much, and it's great seeing that. Again, to me, it's a bit hard. I don't like being too harsh on Coco at all.
Yeah.
She's playing players who are more experienced, you know. You can see that she's improved on her mental side. So before, you could easily see her frustration when she wasn't performing well. Whereas now, I think she's I don't think she's there yet, but she's gradually has improved a lot on that. Because I feel like with tennis, once a player can get into your head, that's it.
No, it's all mental, so
I feel like once she's out of that completely and she continues playing her matches and she gets better, she is literally like going to be unstoppable.
Yeah, no, I think I completely agree. Like, I think what you said there, but mentally, like, that's something that is definitely like a, I wouldn't say it's a barrier, but it's something she's you can see she's working on, especially when it comes to the serve, like that second serve. And that even kind of played out today in the match with Alexandrova. Like, there were moments where, like, yeah, she just, you just knew, you kind of felt a double fault was coming. But again, like you said, she's 16 years old, like, she's a teenager, like, she's literally still growing, like, right in front of us, and like developing. Exactly. So I think it's just it's exciting to kind of think as well, like, the way she's going in terms of like her like ascent up the rankings, she's like she's on course to like being seeded. In terms of like, if things keep going the way they are, like, she's on course to being seeded like for the slams, so we could be looking at her like being seeded possibly for like Wimbledon or like the US Open. I would think anyway, like, because I mean, yeah, I think she's going to go quite deep in a lot of these events.
Yeah, but if she continues to play doing her thing and stuff, without any doubt.
So yeah, like, that's a great look for Coco, and like, yeah, we just long may she continue to thrive and prosper. The next players now I want to speak about. So they made their returns to the tour after a while away. We had Joe Wilfried-Tsonga, who played in Montpellier, and that was like, it's like mid-February now, I'd say. And that was after being away from the tour for 13 months. So his last match was at last year's Australian Open. And he retired, I think it was against Alexei Popperin in the first round. He retired injured. And then, yeah, he pretty much like sat out the rest of the season. But yeah, Tsonga was back in Montpellier. He lost to Seb Korda in the first round. But I thought he looked in pretty good shape. Like, he started the match so well. Like, it was like he'd never been away. But then obviously Sebastian Korda's been playing like on the challenges like all year, like getting really good results. So he was pretty just match sharp. Like, you can just basically, that is what won the match in terms of the main factor, like Korda's match sharpness. But it was just great to see Tsonga back, like back on the court. And even Korda said after the match as well, like, tennis is better with Tsonga like playing, basically. Like, he's an important figure in men's tennis.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. He's a fun player.
Which I thought was quite nice to hear from Korda. And the other player I want to speak about is Madison Keys. So she made her return last week now.
Which I owe you an apology.
Here we go. I like that.
I owe you an apology.
Why? Why do you owe me an apology, Lucy?
Because when I saw Keys's draw.
Oh, okay, yeah, go.
I was like, yeah. Not only because her first round she was playing against someone who literally was in the finals of the previous tournament. That's the only reason why I was like, it's a bit tough. So it's either going to go two ways. Either she's going to lose in three sets, or she's... No, sorry. What's I going to... No. What did I think? My mind just went blank. Sorry. Either she was... Either she was just going to lose... I mean, sorry, win in straight sets, because... Obviously, you know,
it was Bencic.
Benching. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Even just going to, yeah. Because obviously she was probably tired. That's what I was thinking. Like, she just finished playing. Or she was going to win in like three sets. That's what I had in mind. I was like, it had to be dirty. But think about it, you know, she had COVID. She didn't play at all. It was probably her first match.
Since September, so exactly.
Exactly. So I unfortunately was so pessimistic. I was like, it's going to be a tough one, but I don't think she's going to win it. And she blew her mind. You said she's going to win. So I owe you an apology.
Listen, I respect it. I respect that. But it was
great. So, you know, that was very, very impressive from her because I wasn't even the only one. A lot of people were thinking, oh yeah, Keys is out of here when they saw her draw.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really glad that she, you know, was able to come up and step up. You know, again, she had COVID, so her coming to a whole different time, whole different, you know, environment and everything, and not playing since a clay season in September.
Exactly.
Really impressive.
No, I think that's well said. And like, to be fair to you, Lucy, you weren't the only one that like kind of said, oh yeah, like she's,
yeah,
she pretty
exactly
much has no chance.
Yeah.
I saw a few
people,
things,
yeah,
on like social media saying, oh yeah, like I can't really see Keys doing anything. Everyone against Bencic. And I was like, listen, this is Madison Keys. You really know how I feel. She's got a really strong game. Like, yeah,
you've already said it.
She's easily a top 10 player. Like, obviously she's top 20 at the moment, but yeah, she's easily a top 10 player. So I was not surprised to see her, like, basically, yeah, play Bencic off the court.
Yeah.
She did lose in the second round to Maria Sakkari, which again is no like mean feat. Like, Sakkari's a top player.
Oh yeah.
And she's
been playing.
That's what I was gonna say. It comes down to the match sharpness thing again. Sakkari's been playing literally since. It's like she's been playing non-stop. Like, she hasn't even stopped even during.
That's what I'm saying. And I feel like people kind of forget that at the moment. Like, when they get so upset by some players losing, like, for example, look at Rotterdam. Look how many players we were expecting to. Like,
yeah,
I was so excited for this thing. And then injured. And we all know for a fact, if there wasn't COVID happening and people, you know, playing it, like Australian Open, so many of these players were injured as hell, but they didn't want to continue. You know, they want to keep on playing. Except one that I don't believe that he was injured. I think he was lying, but you know who, guys.
We're not
gonna, I'm
not going to say.
So I think that's the thing. I think people are really forgetting that, you know, I feel like for the next year or two, tournaments are going to be very different because of the whole COVID thing, depending how things go. Speaking of COVID as well, this is really off topic, just came out of my head. Shout out to the players who are, you know, not really going against the vaccine and taking pictures of them, you know, taking a vaccination.
Oh, okay,
and,
yeah. So,
you know,
yeah, Halep and...
We have two. Yeah, there was Halep and someone else. Oh, Billie Jean King,
okay, legend,
posted,
yeah,
one as well. So, yeah, I mean, I saw like a news article saying that one of the fastest selling books at the moment on Amazon, for example, are books about, like, you know, why the vaccines are bad and stuff.
Geez.
So having a little bit of having a little bit of positivity right there is great. People using their impact, you know, I'm not saying everyone should get it, but at the same time, all these crazy theories about the vaccine are very damaging. Some people need it, and, you know, we need to get the hell out of here, guys.
Indeed.
Like, we need our lives back. So shout out to them.
Gonna say, we need to take, like, call this episode the vaccine podcast, like the vaccination pod.
Might as well, you know.
But no, that's well said. Basically, it's just great to see Songa and Keys back in action, and they'll be playing again this week, which we'll talk about later on. So next, I want to speak about, like, just some media, like, well, yeah, basically bits and pieces that have been in the media recently. So it was Sloane Stephens Foundation. They announced, it was earlier last week now, that they're partnering up with SAP, who's like, they're basically like a massive, like, tech giant. They're one of the main sponsors of the WTA tour as well, like with all the scoring and stuff. And obviously Sloane Stephens Foundation, they do like brilliant work, like in Florida and I think Compton as well. Which are like the two main areas. So, yeah, basically they've joined forces now, and they'll just basically be helping with like the high performance tennis program, and also provide existing support for the existing Love Compton program, which is just I just love when players have foundations, because that giving back, like, is mm-hmm. you can't really put a price on that. And with someone of like Sloane's kind of status, obviously she's a Grand Slam champion, like mm-hmm. she's using her platform like for
she's been doing that for a very, very long time, and she's been very consistent with it. It's interesting how, you know, yes, she's a Grand Slam champion, although she hasn't really been winning as much as much. And like, it's really
not to cut you, sorry, Lou, I feel terrible, because in the last pod, we didn't even mention like her first round in the Australian Open. She lost to Yulia Putintseva in three sets. And it was a tough, like, she could have won that.
That's why I didn't want to speak about it.
But no.
It was... Not in a bad way. It was just like,
she's been having a tough time, and again, she's been through a lot as well.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Yeah. You know, she was in quarantine. She was mourning by herself. Exactly. She wasn't with friends and family. She lost a thingy. Like, and the thing is, I feel like it's already hard losing someone due to COVID, but it's harder losing someone due to COVID and you can't even be there at a funeral or mourning with people because you're dealing with COVID stuff, because you're trying to feed your family, trying to do what you love. So I'm really surprised seeing her, not surprised in a bad way, like I actually give it up to her for her to be, you know, she's still posting pictures, she's still famous.
Doesn't
necessarily
resilient.
Mean that she's, you know, she's probably still very sad inside. You know, that's the issue with social media. You never really know what people are going through. But I'm glad that she's not allowing that, showing that is getting to her. If not, they're gonna take it out of her. You know how this tennis media is. So as long as she's happy and stuff, like I see her like as, you know, even if she leaves tennis, what I mean leave, I mean like when she actually retires, I feel like she'll be someone you still see around, because definitely. She's always giving back. She has, like I said, for someone who has not been winning as many games as before, she has so many of her sponsorships, like she's busy, she's doing stuff, which is, you know, it's still good to see. Like,
no,
she's clearly taking advantage of her being a Grand Slam winner compared to others. There's some where one Grand Slam is quiet.
Yeah, no, it's just so true. Very, very true. And I think...
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think all that stuff you said as well, like about... I wouldn't say it's a perception, but yeah, the fact that she's just literally... She's just getting on with it. Like, and that is, that's the impression you do get, like, from her social... Because she's very active on social media. And like she posts some really like obviously nice pictures of her, like
she's beautiful.
She
though.
is like no
she's
doubt about
beautiful,
that.
Beautiful woman.
But I think it's important to remember, she's been through a hell of a lot. Hence why the results like kind of reflect that, I guess. But again,
and it's probably even more that we don't even know.
100%. But again, like her talent is literally, she's easily one of the most talented players in women's
she's
tennis.
Very athletic,
like, there's
100%.
No two ways about that.
She's a great athlete, like, so in general.
There's absolutely no doubt that she'll get back to winning ways very soon. So yeah, shouts out to Sloane Stephens and the Sloane Stephens Foundation. Anne-Marie Batson, friend of the pod, who was on with us in the last episode. So she made her ATP commentary debut last week at the Argentina Open, and it was brilliant to hear her. Like, I was pleasantly surprised. I think it was Sumit Nagal, that was the match she was commentating on, and that was a first round match, and that was his like first, it was a big moment for him, because I think he took out like the top seed, which is a good look. And that tournament happened to be the same tournament that our guy Francis Tiafoe is playing. So he won his first round. Who did he play in the first round? Facundo Bagnis, again an Argentine. Tiafoe looked incredible. Like, I tweeted about it after. Like, he just looked so good on clay. Like, and he kind of, obviously he told us on when we had him on last year, people sleep on him, like on the clay courts, like. So it was kind of good to see him, like, just blow Bagnis off the court. In the second round, he had Joan Munar of Spain, And again, Munar's literally grew up on that clay court, like in terms of he's Spanish.
Spanish people, that's their vibe.
Which was mad. And yeah, Anne-Marie, she was commentating during that match as well. So that was really nice to hear, like throughout that. But yeah, unfortunately, TFO did lose to Munar. But no, it was just great. It was great to hear Anne-Marie commentate, like, because that was the first time I've literally listened to her, like, from start to finish. And obviously, I was heavily invested in that match, with it being TFO playing. So yeah, it was great. It was really good to hear, and like, yeah, we look forward to hearing her some more. And yeah, another thing that stood out for me in the media, so it was the USTA did a nice interview with the Jenkins brothers. Jermaine and Jameer, who obviously, like, I tweeted again, and like I posted it on our social, like I just said that they're just really important figures, like in tennis, you know, being two black guys, brothers as well. It's just a powerful like image. And the interview again, like, it was so yeah, just really, really powerful, like in terms of like, just, you got a really good sense of like who they are as people.
Exactly, yeah.
And they're all about giving back, and like, yeah, basically like just being a good example for people coming up like behind them.
Yeah.
And yeah, they both kind of gave their kind of, or shared their thanks or gratitude in the comments, which I thought was really nice. Like, it was a really nice kind of, that made me feel pretty happy to see that, like, yeah, again, the people,
friends of the pod,
this is the thing, people are celebrating, they're acknowledging, and I just always love that.
100%. Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, shouts out to Jermaine and Jameer. Yeah, just keep doing your thing, guys. Lastly, coming to the end, the LTA, so this is kind of on our shores now, the Lawn Tennis Association, they've appointed 7 new members to their LTA council, and I'm going to say 2 of the 7 are black women. So we've got Yasmin Clark, who we interviewed her brother Curtis last year. And again, she has a thorough background in tennis, which is great to see. She's one of the members, well, the new members now on the board. And it's just, yeah, that's pretty exciting, like, going forward, to know that she's on the board to basically, I guess, give an important kind of perspective and a different perspective, because obviously that's something the LTA were called out for last year. I don't know if you remember when we spoke about Mervi Washington's article with the Times. So yeah, that's a good look going forward, and like, obviously we'll keep an eye on things there. And yeah, lastly, shout out to Paul Jubb. So he won his first 15K ITF event in Sharm el Sheikh in Egypt, and yeah, en route to winning, he didn't drop a set until he got to the championship match. I think he lost the second set. He won in 3 sets, basically. But yeah, that's his first 15K event on the ITF circuit. So shouts out to Paul Jubb on that one. And yeah, that pretty much rounds up like the media stuff that I kind of wanted to talk about. I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add, Lucy.
No. No. Sorry.
No.
It was pretty quiet for 2010.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think everyone's just kind of gearing up for Miami, which is obviously then the end of March.
I felt like that's why a lot of people cancelled Rotterdam.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that they are probably injured.
I mean, because...
Because I feel like now players need to really plan themselves more than ever now because of COVID.
Shouts out to Rublev, though, Andre Rublev, because he won the Rotterdam title. He's on like a city like winning streak.
He's been really hustling.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players. Like, yeah, I enjoy watching
Speaking
him.
Of Miami Open, can I be very honest with you? I'm not happy because like I said before on the pod, the way in America they've been dealing with COVID has been like crazy.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're going to say.
I cannot believe fans are going to, like, I'm scared for the players, really and truly, because out of all places as well, Florida.
I know.
Florida was having quarantine parties when when COVID was at its peak. These people were like, nah, it does not exist. Let's have a party. And those are the same people who actually even died. That's a funny, that's the craziest thing. Yeah. So I'm a bit, although it's not all capacity.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be reduced. 20%. Yeah.
Still, like, I just.
I hear you. Because obviously all of these events that are happening like right now, in Europe anyway, they're like, there's no one in the crowd. It's they're empty stadiums.
There's exactly.
And it makes sense. And then, but I
feel like Miami Open saw the NFL having people. They're like, oh, we can do the same. And it's like, no. First of all, you guys are in Florida. You guys and this COVID thing, you did not, you know, like, it was just, I don't know. I was, when I saw it and asked the news, I was like, what?
Yeah. No, like, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean,
we'll see how it goes.
I don't want to be said
as much as I want fans there, exactly. As it brings different atmosphere. Like Australian Open, loved we enjoy it. Even the Dubai tournaments, we enjoyed it. Like when I watched the Muguruza versus Abelenko, which, to be honest, was one of the best matches this year. It was great. The atmosphere was there. Yeah. But fam, we're still in a panoramic. But I hope everyone keeps safe, from staff to players to even the fans.
100%. You know, 100%. Like, a lot could happen.
Wear your mask, guys.
A lot could happen between now and then. But yeah, let's just hope things improve, keep on improving for the better.
Yes.
But no, you're right. You're right to be concerned, definitely.
No, I really am, honestly.
And yeah, guys, we're kind of pretty much coming to the end. Like, because as we said, not much has really happened. So yeah, upcoming events now. We touched on Dubai, which is currently going on. So it started on Sunday. We spoke about Goff obviously winning through against Alexandrova in round one. Keys, she's also playing Dubai, so she starts against the qualifier, so mm-hmm. you'd like to think she'll get through that, and yeah, gets some more matches under her belt, yeah, like heading into Miami, which would be good. So yeah, that's Dubai. Guadalajara in Mexico, Sasha Vickery, she was playing qualifying. Unfortunately, she lost in the first round of qualifying. So yeah, she's no more in Guadalajara. On the men's side now, there are three events taking place. The last one I'm going to speak about, obviously that's your fave taking part in that. But in Chile, we'll start with the Chile Open. We've got Francis Tiafoe, who's seeded fifth. He takes on Nicolas Jarre, who is a home favourite. He's Chilean, and he was, like, no shade. He's just returning from a ban. Like, he was banned for doping, Jarre. So, yeah, he's just only recently made his return back to the tour. So that's going to be an interesting first round for Tiafoe. Like, because, again, obviously, Jarre being South American, grew up on the clay. Should be a good match. So yeah, that's who Tiafoe faces in Chile. And then Marseille, which is an indoor event, obviously in France. Joe Wilfried Tsonga continues his comeback. And he plays Feliciano Lopez in round one. Just like a battle of battle of the ages. I wouldn't say Tsonga's a vet. I mean, he's 35, I want to say.
He's 35. He is, yeah.
Feliciano is 39. So he's Feli's a bit older, but yeah. They're both the other side of 35, I guess, because I think Songa's birthday is this month, I want to say. So that should be an entertaining match. Like, that's a first round in Marseille, which is going to be quite fun. And lastly, the Roger returns in Doha. Which is a 250 event. And obviously I know you're excited to speak about Roger Federer. My guy.
I know this is a African black people only live, but still, you know, you guys know Roger's my goal. one of my GOAT. So yeah, I'm very excited to see him.
Did you
back.
See the clips of him hitting on the courts?
Of course, like, it's just like, oh, I just get goosebumps. I'm just like, oh my god,
like he's never been away. Like literally, he did look good.
He looked really, really good. But yeah, honestly, I'm just like, I don't even care if he loses or wins. Like, I just want him. I just miss watching him black play. Yeah. Like, I feel like Federer's playing style and his presence alone is just different. Like, I feel like there's one, the same way I see that there's one Serena Williams, the same way that I see like there's one Federer. Like, to me,
definitely.
There will never be like them. Do you get what I mean? So, yeah, I'm trying to take it all in before, you know, is his time. So,
because I was going to say, he gets a first round bye because he's like I think he's the second seed, I think, or third seed.
Yeah.
And then he'll play either Jeremy Chardy or Dan Evans in round two. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting because I think he was hitting with Dan Evans. They seem like good friends, I think, I'm going to say.
I think Federer gets along with everyone.
Pretty much. But
how can you even hate Federer?
Obviously. But I remember there was a story of, I think he invited Dan Evans to train in Switzerland with him for a while.
I'm pretty sure I heard that story, but I couldn't remember which player.
I'm pretty sure it was Dan Evans because I think he said he just likes his style, like his game style, and they do kind of match up quite nicely. So it was understandable. Yeah. So that would be interesting if they end up playing each other in the first round. But yeah, I expect Federer to do well. Like, I don't know if you saw the quotes he was talking about. Like, I think a journalist put to him like the idea of retiring, like if things don't really pan out like this year. And he kind of said, listen, like his main focus really is Wimbledon. Like that's his main priority. Like that's what he's kind of training or focused on. Mm-hmm. Like, in this comeback.
Not just Wimbledon, but also what people don't know or forgetting, Olympics as well. I think that was another big thing for Federer last year.
Because in the quotes I saw, I didn't see anything about the Olympics, but Wimbledon was a prominent, like...
But last year that was like his main thing as
really?
Because Federer doesn't have... I think he only has a doubles.
Ah, so he's looking for a singles, you think?
He's looking... Like, for example, Nadal has it all.
Okay, yeah.
Djokovic, I think as well he has. I can't remember.
I don't think Djokovic has an Olympic gold.
Does he?
I don't think so.
I don't necessarily think it's a gold. I think even Nadal, I don't think it's a gold, if I'm correct.
Murray has.
Again, why Sir Andrew Murray?
We love Andy,
you know,
definitely.
Hello. Which also with him as well, you know, he talked about how, like, why is he going to stop, you know, people asking about the retirement, blah, blah, blah. But, but I think last year the Olympics was definitely big for Federer. But we all know Wimbledon is his thing, especially after his last Wimbledon final, which... That Wimbledon final, both men and women, stressed me the fuck. Like it was yesterday.
Was that the Halep, Serena? Final.
Yeah, Halep and Serena and Federer and Djokovic wanted to stress my life that weekend. That was the most stressful weekend ever. Like, I was just like, Federer definitely stressed me more. Because even if you looked at like the stats and you didn't watch the match, you actually even ask yourself, how the fuck did he not win this? It was that mad. But it's okay. And speaking of Wimbledon, I'm really hoping we can get fans this year.
Oh man, I'm praying. I'm absolutely praying.
If everything goes well with the roadmap,
should, yeah,
we might
exactly.
Be lucky.
This is what I'm saying. So let's just keep our fingers crossed. But that would be incredible.
Can you imagine Wimbledon with no crowds?
It would be unthinkable.
But
they are planning. Yeah. They're planning for both scenarios. Like, to their credit, obviously, and they have to. But.
Yeah, no, they have to do it, especially they didn't play last year. Exactly. I think regardless is going to happen, but I'm just hoping, like, that, you know, Wimbledon is different.
It's the home of slams. It's the home slam as well, like, so it's important for us,
so, you know, like, we, exactly. So fingers crossed and everything goes well.
Yeah. And that pretty much wraps up this episode, Lucy. A nice quick one this week.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, guys, we appreciate you tuning in as ever. Yeah, love all Definitely. The interaction, like, on social as well. So, like, yeah, keep all that coming.
Yeah, it's been great. And speaking of social, guys, please keep an eye on my Twitter to know what's going on in Senegal and stuff. We need that a lot of awareness. I feel Twitter has been blocking us. It's been very hectic. The government's been blocking people's socials over there. So obviously I'm not asking for anything. I'm just asking to just help to spread awareness, and that's it. And
I think as well, just people need to just be aware. Like, it's, we spoke about 100% the whole Black Lives Matter stuff like last year, like,
yeah, and SARS.
It may not be affecting you like personally, but I think it's important to be aware of like what's going on around the world. 100%, so
yeah, definitely.
Well said. And obviously, yeah, we keep Senegal in our